My name is Jim. It's too late for this. I'm leaving for the Royal Rumble on Sunday,
Sean has
guys.
A concussion.
My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here.
And for the first time on You Can't Handle the Truth, noted comic, hockey aficionado, a podcaster himself,
mm-hmm.
all around great fella.
Great boy.
Colin Chamberlain.
The most polite of all the boys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get that on a t-shirt and you'll move some merchandise.
Yeah.
But Colin's here for a reason.
Well, we needed to bring in Pittsburgh's number one 20 to 25 year old podcasting capable hockey expert.
Wow. I am honored
to talk about the film Slapshot.
Yeah,
which the other two people in this town have seen many times. I saw for the first time tonight.
That is amazing.
I'm going to share.
I can't believe that.
I'm going to share my thoughts. We're going to get into it. Colin's got stories. Aaron's going to tell us what hockey pads smell like and more this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe and rate and review the podcast. It only would take a minute. Just write a few words. Doesn't have to be 400 words like Sean's movie reviews. If you like an episode, share it. It's like the easiest thing ever. Just don't do it during a movie because like that's rude. You can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie interviewing musicians and comics and basically anybody I find entertaining. And we tackle a different topic every episode. So come and laugh along with us.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, January 26th, 2018. We have returned to the Kleiber Ranch.
Mm-hmm. This is actually called, the room we're in is the Dad Quarters.
The Dad Quarters.
Where Jason Clark and I record occasionally the Grown Dad Business Podcast.
Yeah.
We just talk about different paints.
So yeah. Did you choose this color? It's kind of a burgundy.
This is nice lighting in here.
Yeah,
can I just say... This lighting is very warm, and I love it.
Well, yeah. It's Colin, if you want to get grown dad business, it's all about the light bulbs you select.
Love it.
It's all about the light bulbs.
It's not harsh on my eyes.
This room is the last room in the house that's going to be done, so it will be a cinema room.
Ah.
I have stacks of posters, all kinds of good things.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
My home decor thoughts are mainly about how many places I can put Funko Pops.
It's yeah,
what
you're,
additional?
That's a
services.
Weird thing, maybe. Hmm?
Yeah, he's got a cross between Funko Pops, Harry Potter, and wrestling.
Yeah.
Hanging around his house.
Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, you know, he's.
I feel like the police are always shocked that they're not coming to your house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're just like,
let me tell.
Can't
let me
believe
tell.
This.
Look, here's what happened. I moved out of my parents' house at 23.
Yeah.
I had roommates for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with significant others for quite some time. I finally ended up in my own house. This is my house.
Just do what you want.
And I built the bachelor pad.
Of your dreams.
Of my limited finances dreams.
I like it.
So it's, you know, it's fine.
Don't let anyone discourage you.
It's at the bottom of a hill on Mount Washington.
You still live in the same place that when I picked you up?
Yeah, yeah. You have to go up a mountain and then down a hill that is on top of that mountain.
Yeah.
And beneath my feet.
Frightening.
Every morning I wake up with this odd ringing in my ears in addition to my tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm actually hearing the vibrations of cars in the Liberty Tunnel. Because I actually live on top of the Liberty Tunnel.
Are you serious?
Yes. That can't be good
well,
for me long term.
If you're
term.
From Pittsburgh, that's a weird thing.
That's very. It's. I'm gonna move. I'm gonna be about 6 more months. I like it.
It's so odd.
I love it. But
you like the place.
I do like the place.
But
Speaking of living in shitty places, you guys ever been to Johnstown?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done my share of comedy gigs in
really
Johnstown.
Crappy hockey rink there.
I went to my first year and a half of school was done at Pitt Johnstown.
Mm.
My connection to Slapshot, the town of Johnstown,
yeah,
the Hanson brothers, is so deep.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, I didn't tell you all of my connections.
All right.
Because
list,
I wanted to surprise
list your
you.
Slapshot. And look, if you're not, if you're from Pittsburgh, you're going, how did you record 200 episodes without doing one on Slapshot? If you're from some other places, you might be like, what is this movie what that you speak of?
Well, I will say, most people do know Slapshot. Slapshot,
yeah.
I mean, every single hockey player on the planet
yeah.
has seen Slapshot. I mean,
yeah.
if you when you play, you will hear all sorts of quotes from Slapshot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll hear all kinds of things.
Have
I
you
mean,
ever seen the movie Youngbloods?
I have not.
That's another hockey movie.
Well, look.
And there is a debate of what is the better hockey movie, Slapshot or Youngblood. But I say
right.
Slapshot.
So give us your Slapshot resume.
So my Slapshot resume. One, I love the movie.
Right.
Two, I went to school at Pitt Johnstown for my first year and a half of college, where the War Memorial is, the Cambria
mm-hmm.
War Memorial, where
they filmed this movie. Yeah.
It was based yeah. in Johnstown.
Yeah. They renamed it Charlestown in the movie for some
yeah,
reason.
The Charlestown yeah. Chiefs.
Charleston.
Yeah. yeah. So I went to school in Johnstown by the War Memorial.
Right.
Based on the Johnstown Jets, mm-hmm. actually. The
name of the team at the time.
Was the
yeah.
team, yeah. Mm-hmm. That they based the team, the Charleston Chiefs, on.
Yeah.
I worked at the Neville Island Ice Rink for
yeah.
about 7 or 8 years, and the ice manager there, the main manager, was Dave Hansen,
of
who played
yes.
one of the Hansen brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, there's some... I don't want to give all my trivia away.
Isn't it interesting that they named them the Hansen brothers and not after the two actual brothers?
So, the Hansen... So
that's
God,
interesting.
I,
here,
I just,
go. I can go
I
home.
Know
oh,
I'm,
there's so much.
Yeah.
So
why didn't I do this next week by myself with Colin?
That's what was I going to do?
Yeah,
I know.
That's
that
a good idea.
We can do that Christian Bale Western.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the Hansen brothers were based off of the... What's happening?
Oh my. Keep going.
Aaron,
go ahead.
Aaron
Sorry.
Was trying to subtly indicate to Colin to
I'm giving podcast
pull,
directions.
Pull the microphone a little bit away from
it's
him.
Like, it's like Colin doesn't do his own podcast
yeah, Colin,
every week.
Colin has
yeah,
a hockey
I,
podcast.
I tend to eat the mic. This
yeah, could you get the
yeah.
microphone off your teeth?
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
There you are.
So the
I can
Hansen
hear it.
Brothers were based off of the Carlson brothers.
Uh-huh.
It was Steve,
right.
Jack, and I forget the other one. But there's three Carlson brothers,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to star in the movie,
right.
right? But the one Carlson, I believe it was Jack Carlson, he got called up to play for the New York Islanders, I believe, and could not play in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave Hansen, Dave the Hammer Hansen,
mm-hmm.
was asked to play, who also played with those guys,
yeah,
was asked to play the next Hansen brother
mm-hmm.
because he looked like them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the
they
name
do look
Hansen,
alike.
Right?
Yeah.
And Dave Hansen is the actually only person named Hansen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
his nickname was Dave the Hammer Hansen.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Dave
and you worked
Hansen's,
for him for
I worked
years.
For him. Yeah, yeah. I worked for him
yeah,
for
a while. Yeah, I've played with him
yeah.
a couple times too.
Yeah, I've worked games where the Hansen brothers, like my dad is playing games where the Hansen brothers have come to do like charity events.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like experience them.
Mm-hmm.
The Hansen brothers, after making, they made three movies.
Mm-hmm.
One was really good. The rest were not.
They made Slapshot 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I'm aware that those are films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Hansen brothers
25 years later
still make pretty good money to do charity events.
To be the Hansen
brothers. To be the Hansen brothers. They make more than a headline.
They, I mean, they, yeah. they show up at NHL events for every once in a while, too.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, when they did, when Johnstown won the Kraft Hockeyville
oh, yeah.
makeover, the Hansen brothers were there and were on TV, and I'm sure they made a good amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us, give us a gem. Give us a gem, Colin, from your time with the Hammer.
Mm.
Just
Dave
drop a
Hansen.
Chestnut.
We're going to talk about the movie eventually.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Well, Dave was a very stoic guy, and I always thought
really?
He hated me.
Okay.
Yeah, very quiet, but very cool with people. Like,
yeah.
People always wanted to get their pictures and stuff with him.
Sure.
And, you know, it just, you know, he wrote a book, like, putting on the foil, and people would come in, and they'd ask him to sign the book and stuff, you know, because they put the foil on their hands. But I always thought Dave didn't like me, and he was a quiet guy, and I remember I came back from college, and he said to me, he goes, "Oh, beefing up, I see, eating all that good college food." And I was like, well, that's the first time this guy's ever talked to me, I
okay.
think.
Well,
and,
you're an asshole. Yeah.
And I'm just glad that he acknowledged me as a person. But he's like the coolest guy ever.
That probably means you're in.
Yeah.
Now that he has
very,
insulted you lightly.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He like when I started to do comedy,
yeah.
he was very supportive and like made sure I always had like him and my other boss there always made sure I had days off. He was always like wanted to come to my shows and stuff.
Did he?
He didn't.
No. Okay.
Because nobody really wants to go to the shows.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
But they tell you, and he was nice enough to mm-hmm. pretend to want to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was really cool. And his son played for a while for the Hershey Bears,
mm-hmm.
and then got called up to the Capitals and played I think for the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And his son's a really good hockey player too. And like they would come down and skate, and it was a lot of fun working for him.
Well, having spent a lot of time in the War Memorial there, I have been there once. And for wrestling yet. I think it was there. I had a high fever, but I was determined to go to that show. Mm. No, yeah, it was there. It was there. It was big main event with Jerry the King Lawler fought Dusty Rhodes. Rest
he
in
fought?
Peace. Oh, yeah, Lawler versus Dusty Rhodes. Mick Foley was the referee.
Yeah.
It was a big all-star show. But I can tell you from that experience, and you guys know much more than I would, that's a place with just incredible cinematic atmosphere.
yeah.
And that really makes the movie work to a large degree. I mean, you could not have faked what that place looks and feels like
yeah.
on the
it
screen.
It was the vibe that they wanted. That's
yeah.
kind of like that industry town where the
yeah.
team, where the town rallies around the team. You know, and that's very much what kind of Johnstown. Not as much with the Tomahawks that are there mm. now.
Yeah.
But still, like the Ice Cats, which were the Johnstown Pit,
yeah.
Johnstown ice hockey mm-hmm. team, very much like supported by the town and stuff. They like their local teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're kind of far. They're 2 hours away from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, so you get a lot of Steeler fans, but there's a lot of people that just like the stuff that's near them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it felt. There were moments in it that reminded me, oddly enough, of remember out of the furnace, the with Christian Bale.
Oh yeah,
and,
sure.
And
a lot of those shots of the mills in Johnstown and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just
and
a very accurate, realistic view of yeah. that of that you know blue collar Rust Belt town.
And actually, I mean, people from Pittsburgh too resonate, I think, really well with it because the movie is basically about this is the last season of the Chiefs. Organization because the mills are closing.
Yeah, and they're going to move.
And they need to move
yeah.
because there's nobody going to be able to afford even games, and a lot of people are already getting laid off. So it's this team kind of struggling through their last season because all the mills are closing. And
yeah,
you know, so yeah, people in Pittsburgh definitely resonate with that.
Especially
but you're
if
right,
you
a lot
were
of
around,
out of the furnace shots.
Yeah.
If you were around when you thought the Penguins were going to leave Pittsburgh, there was a time when we didn't know if the Penguins were going to play another season in Pittsburgh. They were going to potentially move to Kansas City or Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was definitely.
You mean
was,
when you mean when Dick Tarnstrom was the leading
and
scorer?
Then, yeah. And then
little Easter egg for hockey
and
fans.
The team and Gary yeah. Bettman helped keep the team.
Things are going well now for the Penguins, as
yeah.
you may have heard.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing okay.
But let me give you my reaction. Really, really funny.
Yeah, so really, when it's funny, it's very funny.
And in that like 70s, early 80s, foul mouthed, you know, very very non PC, let's say, and but not only that, very character based too. Really, really funny throughout.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see it. All it, I say that it always reminds me of this film, even though it always reminds me a little bit of Stripes.
Mm.
That
mm-hmm.
same feel. And dialogue of comedy.
Sure.
Stripes is five times better.
Yeah.
It has way more bits.
Yeah.
Way more jokes. And obviously filled with legendary comedians.
Remind me something about Stripes later, but go on.
But yeah, it does have that late 70s kind of humor, that lampoon humor.
Yeah.
And you go to wonder, it's like, man, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to sit here be like I'm a know-it-all comedian. I'm like, man, this could have been way funnier. Like, they had so many opportunities to make this a little bit funnier.
I think part of it was, though, is that they might not necessarily have been trying to make the funniest movie. They were making a funny movie about hockey, you know?
Look at Colin getting in. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think that that Slapshot is a much deeper story than people want it or remember it to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have honestly not sat down and watched Slapshot probably for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a hockey player and loving comedy movies, you know, we always think like, oh, Slapshot's one of the funniest movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch it now with a lens of a film critic of some sorts, right, Sean?
Sure, of course.
Okay. And I'm watching it now and I'm like, wow, this is a lot different than I remember. You just remember these funny scenes, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And the hockey and the fights and things like that. And I'm like,
You forget that there's actually a movie going on.
Yeah, there's a story. There's a relationship story.
Yeah.
Like, and it runs 2 hours and 13 minutes, which, Sean, I'm sorry that I did not warn you that it was 2 hours and 13 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long one. That's about, I mean, the only thing I have close to a complaint is, it goes on.
It could be tightened up.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that we could probably lose 20 minutes.
Well, and there's a really great plot about, there's a really great subplot about the hot young talent on the Chiefs, played by Michael Ontkean, who I know as Sheriff Harry Truman from Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Ned Braden and his young wife. That story really works. Paul Newman's character has a story with his ex-wife that kind of doesn't really ever get
doesn't
where
really
it's
pan
going.
Out. Yeah.
And you could have easily lost that. But, you know, tighten it up a little bit. And the only thing that felt weird is it definitely felt odd that it was... You know, it kind of had that "Let's Save the Rec Center" theme.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
which Slapshot spoilers. You know, that's not what happens.
No, yeah.
You know, they don't end up saving the team and staying in fake Johnstown.
Yeah, right.
They ride out the season and then some of them will get jobs. And that felt a little bit odd. What I felt like when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this was probably the model for Major League.
Hmm.
Speaking of sports movies of the era.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a pretty well-known thing that a lot of sports movies that came out later in the 80s and, I mean, and even the 90s, like, absolutely.
Well, I mean...
And it seemed like that... it's funny. I had this conversation with somebody about sports movies and that... Slapshot was so before its time.
Yeah.
And it came out in 1977.
Yeah.
Why do you think it took so long to make more funny sports movies?
Well, yeah. I mean, Major League was 12 years later. What?
Star Wars.
Ah.
That's what happened.
The industry went in a different direction.
Hollywood movies created this. Then you see Crawl and Dune and you know what I mean? And Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
And that's what studios were making.
Yeah.
You know, Slapshot started the trend for sports movies 15 years later.
So, Sean, you said it was weird maybe to see that in the movie, maybe you didn't say it was weird, but you see these guys, they end out their career and some of them have to go get jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Which I think is actually very true about
very
how
realistic,
some of
yeah.
these leagues are.
You oh,
know
yeah.
I mean? You have some of these guys that are stuck in a professional league not making any money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they get to the point where it's like, I can either continue to put myself through this for $25,000 a year.
Right.
If
you
that.
Know,
in some,
if that.
In some league.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the Wheeling Nailers, like when the Wheeling Nailers have a veteran guy that they respect and who's like seeing out the end of his career and can't give a pocket, they will have like Wilkes-Barre or the Penguins front an additional like $5,000 to $10,000, right, to give them because the max they'll pay their players is like $25,000-$30,000.
Yeah. Oh, I
so we, that we, and that's very true. You
I
know,
mean, my brother-in-law played professional hockey after he won a championship with Ohio University, and he
Bobcats.
Yeah, he played for the Indiana Ice Miners. And also held a job as like a teacher.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
There's a really good I think it's a documentary. I think it's called The Last Warrior.
Yeah,
it's about these guys who play hockey and they're kind of like on the fringe. They're maybe enforcers or stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's about like them going into waivers.
Yeah.
In like a 48 hour period where you can be claimed by another team, and them just like sitting around and like no one's calling, and them realizing that they're out of a job.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of sad, but very true of how the system works.
As you can see with Major League and now this, I know nothing about hockey, but can talk to you about baseball. You know, if you go to one of those Washington Wild Things games, we have a Frontier League team here, which is not affiliated. And in baseball, you remember every major league team has like five affiliated teams. Yeah. So if you're
really,
like the Pirates have five or six minor league teams, and the Frontier League is a step below that.
Right.
So I remember the first time I went to a Wild Things game, there was an ad in the program. Hey, can you have one of our players live at your house? It's like, please host this because they're not making any money.
I mean,
we need. Could you have a bed?
Yamir Yager lived in around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he would come over and play basketball with us as kids when I was in like middle school. And then when we found out where he lived, I biked to his house and he bought an entire box of Reese cups off me.
Oh, that's nice.
He already had a Stanley Cup, was scoring a ton of goals, and he's living with some family.
Sports life is
like,
weird, guys.
In like a three-bedroom house
because
in West Homestead. I was like...
Like, Evgeny Malkin moves to Pittsburgh. He does not speak English.
Yeah.
He's a kid. Right. You know
and
what
he
I mean?
And Yager stayed with, I guess, like a Czech businessman.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They have to have... Like, Malkin stays with Gonchar. He could translate for him. Because they're just... Like, we see them as like these superstars.
He's a
kid. They're, yeah, like...
Yeah.
He's 18, 19 years old and doesn't speak English. That's crazy. And also, oh, here's your first paycheck. It's a $48,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and Slapshot does a pretty good job of illustrating what that life was in the 70s. And I know from being around sports writers my whole life, there's a lot of nostalgia for that, like, down and dirty, you know, beers on the bus, like, you know, that era of living on the road in sports. And I think if you're someone who has an appreciation for that, then and somehow you haven't seen Slapshot, then I would rent this your nearest Blockbuster video.
I'll say watching that and played hockey for, you know, 17 years competitively.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, because I don't want to, you know, I've been playing my whole life, but no. Pickups don't count.
Yeah.
I watched that now, and I'm like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That looks fun as
that,
well.
It reminds me of, like,
I want to play on that team.
Like, a season or two where I played, like, in a work league where it was all the, like, either former RMU coaches or, like, players that just got out and were, like,
right.
And we were all playing in a men's league. And we were really good because we had all these guys that just left, like, you know, an NCAA school.
Didn't get drafted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we would just have
much
fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, hanging out in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Just, it was just a blast.
Watching Slapshot.
And it's funny because... Slapshot to me, like, you know, I loved hockey growing up, played hockey growing up, but Slapshot was like this thing that I could never have, right? Because it's rated R, it's pretty filthy, and I knew about it, but like I wasn't allowed to watch it. And then it was like, okay, you could watch it when it's on TV, right?
Oh, okay.
Because it's watered
right.
down. And then we did, there was this like event at the rink that my dad set up. It was for like the Pittsburgh Emergency Medicine Foundation. It was going to be like firemen and police officers and paramedics play the Pittsburgh celebrity team.
Yeah.
And the Hanson brothers are going to be there.
Yeah.
So I got – that was like, all right, you get to watch Slapshot. You're going to get a copy of the DVD. I got my own copy signed. So it was
this
big moment.
Right, it's great.
To see the full movie.
It was
then,
a rite of passage for young hockey
like,
players.
A couple weeks later, see the Hanson brothers up close, like on the bench. I was standing on the bench with them. Like, they are in terrible shape, but like, you know, they're going out there, they're beating up the goalie and stuff like that. So, you know, It's it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience.
It's funny you mentioned that because this at that time this movie was filthy.
Oh yeah, it was pretty filthy.
I mean, yeah.
Oh
it is,
no,
but,
it
I
definitely
mean,
is.
But for 77, I mean, there was what was it? I read it.
I read that it was rated R, obviously, but they put an additional disclaimer on the poster that the language in this film is very extreme.
I mean, for 77, the language is pretty foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what? It's funny that. They you know, I'm sure they fought for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever banked it, whatever studio, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, they were just like, no, this is how these guys talk.
Yeah.
This is, like, you're going to have to get that locker room talk.
Yeah.
Wait a second. The locker room talk that we're now used to in America. But
no.
Back in 77.
Hey, topical. Yeah. Topical reference there. Right. What I mean, what's your favorite part of this movie, guys?
I'm a goalie.
Yeah.
The opening.
Oh, so the interview.
The
yeah,
interview
that
with
was
the
really
French
good.
Goalie.
That was really, really good.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all,
For me, it's the root beer scene where they like beat up the vending machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that and
none
the,
of that root beer.
Yeah. And when they have their own
beer.
Cars when they're playing Hot Wheels in the hotel.
Oh yeah.
And it just shows you, like, it's very, like, it's a joking way to show you, but, like,
yeah.
These kids are literally kids. They're
yeah.
just kids that know how to fight. And it's funny because I went to high school with kids that kind of filled that role in, like, the East Coast Hockey League. Like, they were really big. They were good in our high school, ice
right.
hockey team. But, like, a year or two later, you see videos on YouTube fighting in the East Coast Hockey League. And
that's
how basically they made their living for the next couple years out of high school.
The
out of college, I should say.
The Hanson brothers going to fight the crowd is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The opponents just standing on the ice. Should we get involved here?
The shots of them after the fights are very funny.
Yeah.
Because it will be chaos. They have on-the-shoulder cameras following them around on the ice. People's close-ups screaming, punching.
Yeah.
And then it's just – about two or three times in the film, it just cuts – and then they're all just standing there bloody in the locker room or on the ice.
Yeah, when they're standing for the anthem and ref is like,
I'm trying to listen to that a fucking song.
Yeah, they don't want anything.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
I'm trying to listen to that a fucking song.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty amazing.
Actually, we did that. We quoted that a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
when we played hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there was ever music playing, we'd always like, I'm trying to listen to the fucking song.
Oh, so good.
Good movie, guys. Good movie, guys.
Good.
It was
what
fun.
Was your what did you say when they fought the crowd?
Yeah, that was tremendous.
So, like,
that
as...
But the thing with Major... I was just thinking about Major League because, Major League is a group of misfits in what is supposed to be the last season for a team... figures it out and decides to, and the crowd starts rallying behind them, and it's really crass, and it's really, life on the road and players' wives. I really feel like Major League is just some people got together and said, let's do Slapshot and revise it a little bit and make it more palatable for mainstream audiences. And seeing Slapshot, and I've always loved Major League, seeing Slapshot changes it a little bit for me because now it just feels like, oh, they just did what Slapshot did 12 years ago.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Like, being somebody that maybe, not huge into hockey or has never seen the movie, was there anything, I'm curious, was there anything that you were like, wow, that was weird that they did that, or I'm surprised that this happened? Like,
I'm always shocked that not in my lifetime, in my lifetime, there were people playing hockey without helmets. That's always that's always a holy shit moment. That how did that ever? I mean,
goalies play without masks.
Oh yeah, that's bananas. Every time I see that, I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been afraid of some people's shots.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I've known, growing up, the son of a sports writer and seeing a lot of sports movies, I kind of knew what to expect,
right?
Content wise,
yeah.
How we have the impression of the corporate world of sports now, where everything, even down to lower levels, is very, you know,
yeah,
healthy and very clean and very sanitized. And, you know, to it's always fun to see in the relatively recent past when it was like buildings falling apart
and
you know, people drunk on the ice and, you know, smoking cigars in the locker room. Good times.
I was fascinated by this. Is the first time I ever realized, because I'm researching, we're researching the film for this. It has a female writer. And that fascinated me, because it is, when I found that out, I watched the movie with a different lens again. You know what I mean? And it was Nancy Dowd wrote this. And so you could Wikipedia it and look it up, and you know, we don't have to tell you all the information. But Nancy Dowd, her brother played for the Johnstown Jets. Was always telling her stories about how crazy this team was and that they were actually going to be sold.
Right.
She was a struggling writer in Los Angeles. Yeah. She went to visit them, hung out with the team, wrote a movie. Yeah.
How about that?
It's just interesting that I was just thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, how in the hell did Paul Newman get involved in this? Because then he kind of... But the director,
and he always said this is his, you know, his favorite movie to film.
Favorite movie
Paul
to
Newman.
Film.
Yeah.
Paul Newman. It's just fascinating that they got him in this. But the director, George Roy Hill, he directed The Sting, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and Slaughterhouse-Five.
Oh, it was kind of Paul Newman's crew, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Paul Newman brought in quite a few actors that have, you know, been in The Sting with him. And it's crazy that he was just like, oh, yeah, I can skate. I can play hockey. I love this.
Yeah.
And George, that story is like, how did this get made? It was just, is that a thing on the podcast? How did this get made?
That's a different podcast.
Different podcast. Very good, though.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But I thought it was just fascinating.
It's also a real interesting thing. Like, I think what maybe some people miss is it's like a pay some tribute to a time when there were player coaches. When you were a captain of a team, a player and the coach, you know, and that was a real thing. Like, I worked with one of the guys who worked at the ice rink with me was Dwayne Rupp, who played for the Penguins in the 70s, I believe. And he was a player coach when he was going through his career. And, like, imagine having to play on a team and coach the team, you know, and kind of make those decisions with a general manager. You know, like on what you're going to do, how much money you're going to spend. It's pretty insane that was
threatening. You're going to fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Fire a player while you're on a line with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to coach your line mate. How terrible does that sound?
Yeah, I know.
Well, and I didn't realize I mentioned Michael Onkin earlier just because I'm such a Twin Peaks fan and you know, I've watched him the first couple seasons with him any number of times.
Yeah.
He's in this because he was simultaneously playing hockey and working on becoming an actor.
Yeah.
And had an offer from the Rangers.
Yeah.
But acting was going a little bit better.
Yeah.
And he, you know, clearly, like a lot of them, can keep up with the actual hockey players on the ice very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a shame. He's one of the only people, reverse spoilers for Twin Peaks season 3. He's one of the only people from the original cast who did not make any kind of appearance. One of the only living people. And that's because in the mid 90s, I think, he retired from acting and meant it. Like I'm done. I'm really, really done. I think he moved to Hawaii and just committed that he was not going to act again. Interesting guy.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, researching this, is that all these guys, like the Hansen brothers, were based on the Carlson brothers, like these guys that were real players for the Jets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they fought, Oglethorpe.
Real
you know.
People.
Yeah.
And also, like, got hit in the face with keys and stormed the whole team, stormed the bleachers.
Yeah. Oh, that I happened? Mean,
that Mike, really happened.
Oh, wow.
You know, there was a time...
This team was so crazy that the writer's brother was like, this team is insane.
Yeah. I mean...
And she wrote a movie about
that
it.
That happened in the NHL. Like, there's
it did.
Like, Google Mike Milbury shoe, and you'll see a video of Mike Milbury, in a Boston uniform jersey climbing over the glass and beating someone
also
with a shoe.
Check out Ty Domi in the penalty box. Ty Domi is one of the best fighters in NHL history.
Yeah.
At like, what, 5'4"?
Yeah.
Had cement block hands. And a fan is taunting him over the glass.
Yeah.
The glass breaks,
uh-huh.
and he falls in the penalty box, mm-hmm. and Ty Domi begins to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I like, in that after the Hansen gets hit with the keys.
He was defending himself.
And the explanation escalates where Paul Newman's like, yeah, he got hit with a bike chain. No, a crescent wrench. Wrench.
He was like, they threw a tire iron at him.
Final thoughts on Slapshot. I feel like it doesn't. I don't give it a rating. What I mean, how do you rate Slapshot?
Well, you know, I mean, you know,
especially for hockey fans,
there are, you know, there you're seeing it as a hockey movie and a comedy movie,
right?
But there are some serious scenes in there.
Oh yeah,
well,
it's very well done.
Yeah, I mean,
direction's great, script's good.
Yeah,
like I said, could tighten it up a little
long.
Bit, but yeah,
and you know, there's a weird little bonus in there. If you want to see the mom from Christmas Story naked, that's who that is.
Is it
sleeping with Paul Newman?
That is such a long nude shot.
Such a random. Yeah, in the 70s and 80s, but primarily in comedy and horror movies,
someone would just be naked for like 7 minutes.
It was that's the shot though.
Yeah.
The shot is after sex,
right?
Sitting in bed topless.
Yes,
that's the shot.
Yeah,
it's PJ Souls in Halloween.
Yeah,
like it's in horror and comedy movies. That's mm-hmm. the shot. Sean Young in Stripes.
Yeah,
like it's just that it's such a weird thing.
Oh
yeah,
that's a transitional thing. Stripes, and this is just a connection. Hey, big news in my life, guys. I finally figured out how to get advanced screenings of Netflix movies. Very excited about that.
Oh.
I convinced Netflix that I'm a real critic now. So I have seen a futile and stupid gesture, which is the new movie about Doug Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote Animal House and Caddyshack and was one of the three founders of National Lampoon.
Friday?
That's out Friday
and
on Netflix.
Tragically, he killed himself.
It was ruled an accident.
Right.
His body was found over a cliff in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It was ruled an accident. Harold Ramis later said he probably fell while looking for a place to jump. But that's a joke. It's a joke, guys. It's a little gallows humor. It's what that is. I thought this was going to be like kind of informative, you know, funny and okay. Really, really good movie.
Oh,
I think there's nothing better than a comedy movie about comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
And you
switching over from Love and Hockey and Hockey Players. We're all comedians.
Yeah. It's it is frequently laugh out loud funny, which is the problem with a lot of movies about comedy. Sometimes they can't capture it. There's a ton of big, big laughs in it. It's also a really great look at how one of the funniest guys in America went downhill so quickly.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Really, it'll be out on Netflix today as you're hearing this. Great cast, Will Forte.
Can't wait.
Will Forte and Martin Mull play Doug Kenny at different points.
Oh, wow.
Great supporting. Joel McHale plays Chevy Chase. John Daly plays Bill Murray. It's a loaded, loaded cast.
John Daly, a friend, a Pittsburgh friend.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to see him play Bill Murray. It's something that he had to keep a secret for a while.
Yeah.
They really couldn't talk about it, but I cannot wait to see this.
It's either a futile and stupid or a stupid and, yes, a futile and stupid gesture is out on Netflix this Friday. And Domhnall Gleeson from Star Wars is the other co-founder of National Lampoon. Emmy Rossum's in it. Seth Green plays Christopher Guest. Natasha Lyonne's in it. Great cast. Really good. Before we get out of here, quick Oscar thoughts. Colin, you're an Oscar expert. I mean, you know, a lot of people were surprised that the documentary Jane was snubbed in favor of Icarus. Talk to us about that.
I really like Jane.
Yeah.
I thought the documentary was good.
Yeah.
You know, Icarus.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do, right?
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
Industry.
And
no,
classic.
It's this.
I saw Get Out.
Yeah, Get Out
was
good.
2 weeks ago on HBO.
Oh yeah, excellent, excellent.
He's like, I saw Get Out.
And Jordan Peele. There's a lot of firsts this year. One of them is Jordan Peele is the first African American to be nominated 3 times in a single year. Because he is nominated for the screenplay, he is nominated as director, and he was one of the producers on the movie. So since it's nominated for Best Picture, he has 3 nominations at once. Speaking of the first ever woman to be nominated for Best Cinematography.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
For Mudbound. Rachel Morrison shot
that
Mudbound.
That movie's so good.
And it looks great. That's great cinematography. I'm pretty sure she's doing Black Panther.
You may be correct.
Yeah.
How Mudbound is not up for Best Picture? That's
because it's a Netflix movie. That's it.
Well, that's.
The whole movie takes place when you're in mud. So
yeah,
like,
that's the thing.
Like, yeah, I mean it's that. I don't know how to. I mean that's kind of playing hardball.
Yeah, it's mine,
and it's not cool.
I mean, it did better.
It's the studios pressuring the Oscars really hard.
It did better than I thought it would. Right. I thought Mary J. Blige was going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and that was going to be it. It got the cinematography nomination, and it got an adapted screenplay nomination.
Yeah.
So and Best Song. So it did a lot better than I anticipated. That
but
said,
they would not hand them that Best Picture nom.
When stuff like, you know, when, I mean, there's no terrible Best Picture nominee this year. But
Mudbound, nothing terrible. What do you think doesn't belong there?
Mudbound is so much better than Darkest Hour.
Agree.
Mudbound is so much better than Phantom Thread.
Agree.
Even you know, Call Me By Your Name. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, to me, it's better than all of these because Mudbound was my
number one movie.
Darkest
Hour?
Darkest Hour is about
Winston Churchill.
Oh,
rising
for a second,
to power.
I thought it was the one where the guy from The Office plays a Navy SEAL. Jim Halpert. What's that stupid movie? It's not up for the Oscars.
It's like 13 Hours,
yeah,
Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No,
that
is not. That is not up. Although that was an Oscar nominee for, I think, sound mixing.
Really?
Fun
fact. Commissioner Gordon is up for a nomination.
That's correct.
Yes, that's right.
Might win.
He's definitely going to win. That one's done. That one's
we'll see.
Wrapped up. There's not a whole lot to talk about because there were actually very few surprises.
I mean, the one thing that I mentioned, I was surprised, you know, everyone says Denzel for Roman Israel Esquire.
Yeah.
You know, and not James Franco.
This is a year where the Me Too movement and this big shift in people speaking out about the environment on certain sets led directly to 2 major Oscar nominations.
Right.
Because Christopher Plummer got nominated for filling Kevin Spacey's role in All the Money in the World. I saw All the Money in the World today, actually. Yeah. It's good. It's fine. That's absolutely not a role that would have been nominated ordinarily.
Okay.
So that and James Franco was... He won a Golden Globe, won a Critics' Choice Award, was absolutely...
He was incredible.
He was not going to win. But he was going to be nominated.
Right.
The news about him broke before Oscar voting was complete. Mm-hmm. And if you look at who was expected to get a nomination, Denzel was not really in the running. The people who, you know, were kind of on the fringe were Tom Hanks for The Post and Jake Gyllenhaal for that movie Stronger. Those were kind of like 6 and 7 on most people's lists.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly what happened is at the last minute, people took James Franco's name off of that list.
Yeah.
And Denzel, Roman J. Israel Esquire is not a good movie. He was fine in it. He was just Denzel in it. And at this point, a vote for Denzel is like a vote for Meryl Streep. No one's ever going to go, pfft. You know, it's just like the default vote.
True, yeah.
If
anything, he should have won for Fences.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we can have a million different conversations about, you know, separating the art from the artist and Woody Allen and Roman Polanski. We've talked about some of this before. I think that it's tricky when you get 2 awards because if you sit down and say, okay, in a vacuum where none of this exists, in a void, did James Franco give one of the 5 best performances? Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. I think he did.
But
yeah.
It was it pretty amazing.
Yeah, he did.
Oh
great.
No, honestly, it was a method. I mean, honestly, you know. I'm serious. I saw him as one of the top three favorites. To be honest, I really did. And you're right though. The question is, it's like, should that personal bias? I mean, also, well, I hope everyone understands what I'm saying. Is I'm trying to point this out. Is you know he wasn't convicted of a crime or like you know. Is that a thing where now it's like, you know, that affects, oh, like this, that affects this.
Yeah. And,
you know what I mean? And I mean, it kind of does. If you're a piece of shit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
nobody wants you to have anything good
because,
you know, right.
And even when I vote, we like to think of these awards as like this is what we will determine best, but it's
you
also
try to be objective as possible.
We're also choosing what to honor.
We don't want to honor this guy.
I think this is the
human factor in the Oscars.
Yeah.
This is part of that human factor, and it, you know, plays, you know, in a lot of different things, but this is it.
The only thing I would say, you know, I'm fine with him not being nominated.
I get it.
And what we've heard of him, you know, maybe he's not a guy who should have any power in Hollywood anymore. That's fine. The only thing that I would point out is, you know, we're still drawing some weird lines.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman's going to win, and there's stories about him beating his ex-wife that we kind of are just like, that was a while ago.
That we knew 20 years ago.
And there's this, hey, speaking of my immersion in the Harry Potter world, there's this big flap right now because they won't recast Johnny Depp.
Yeah, as
Grindelwald in the Fantastic Beasts series.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a big thing. He was in one scene of the first movie.
Right.
If they had said, you know what, we're getting somebody else.
Yeah.
What did Johnny Depp do?
Johnny Depp beat the shit out of his ex-wife.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez.
And then J.K. Rowling was like, I support the choice to keep him, which a lot
really
of people
weird
were
for her.
Surprised about.
I'm so happy that this is happening. It's a good thing, and it's going to lead to good things.
Yes.
We're just drawing some weird lines.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a figuring out period.
Yeah.
Because you obviously, look, you cannot punish somebody and say, you can't punish someone and say they can never have this job again because they did something a long time ago. We're figuring it out. And the reactions now are warranted. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But you're right. There are some weird lines, and people are trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, because it's a lot different. It's a lot different where it's like, well, when someone's committed of a crime and they pay for it and, you know, there's restitution in some sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, well, sometimes never, you know,
for
the victims. But, you know, it's like, so what when's the period over?
Well, yeah. No,
when are you know what I mean? It's
we're three guys talking. So here's how I'll cede to the voice. Google Ashley Judd Esquire.
Yeah.
And read that. Ashley Judd did a short Q&A with Esquire one or two issues ago where she addressed this. She addressed what's the future for people who have done something wrong, and she actually brought up the point that, you know, a lot of traditional cultures, when someone does something terrible, you send them out into the wilderness for a while and then welcome them back.
Right.
And that's not coming from me. That's coming from Ashley Judd, who was one of the founders of this movement.
Right.
She has some interesting thoughts, so I'll leave it at that.
I mean, there are some Google cultures that take them to the edge of town and stone them.
Right. Don't do that. Let's not stone anybody.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, maybe Weinstein. We can throw rocks at him.
There's a couple people that are...
Yeah. On that note, strong showing for Blade Runner 2049 in the crafts categories.
It's a good film.
I'll leave with this. I do not know what's going to win Best Picture.
What are the nominees?
Let's see if I can do all nine.
Okay, go ahead,
looking
Sean.
It up.
There's nine.
Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour. There's nine this year. Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Lady Bird, The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, The Post, Get Out, and Yeah, what I miss?
Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread. Phantom Thread, by the way, as we said last week, not a very good movie. Don't know why it got six nominations.
I think because so Lincoln was in it.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they cast Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. He's very... I like when he drank that milkshake.
I loved Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, that was good.
I saw that in eighth grade, and it blew my mind.
Actually, I haven't seen Last of the Mohicans.
Are you
really?
Serious?
No, I haven't seen them.
That's a really good movie.
I would like to be on the next podcast
where we watch Last of the Mohicans.
Okay, has Sean seen it? You have to see Last of the Mohicans. Right, that's a very good film.
I'll look
Are
it up.
Are you serious?
No, the soundtrack's incredible.
It
it's one of my favorites.
It's about Pennsylvania.
Is it?
It's about the French and
no,
Indian War.
It takes place in North Carolina.
No, it's
Are you thinking of The Deer Hunter?
No,
different movie.
It's part of it is in Pennsylvania.
You're thinking
of
Slapshot.
It's set in Pennsylvania.
You're thinking of One for the Money with Catherine Heigl.
Listen, Sean.
Aaron was in that.
I was in that.
I watched The Last of the Mohicans in eighth grade as a part of a very extensive French and Indian War project.
I see.
And it is one of my favorite movies. The fight scene at the end
the
between
the French and
Magua,
Indian War is now referred to as the French invasion of the natives.
Wow.
Colin, if I had a nickel for every time somebody came on this podcast and was shocked at a movie I hadn't seen, I wouldn't have to.
You know what Sean hasn't seen?
What?
Commando.
That's true.
Have you ever seen Demolition Man?
No.
Oh, you got to see Demolition Man.
Are you serious? You've never seen
with
Demolition
Wesley Snipes?
Man?
Yeah. I have not.
And the three seashells?
Three seashells. But you know what I just watched for the first time is Heavy Metal. That's bad.
That's an acquired taste
for
sure.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
I don't know what's going to win Best Picture. It seemed like Three Billboards was cruising. It seemed like Three Billboards had it basically locked up.
Well, remember, it was Dunkirk for like 2 months.
It was Dunkirk for a while.
Right.
The Oscar knowledge thing here, it didn't get nominated for Best Director, Three mm-hmm. Billboards. That usually
right.
means you can't win. Shape of Water got nominated for everything.
13?
13 nominations. Has a lot of love.
Favorite?
I think it is back to a three-horse race between Dunkirk, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. There are still some people saying Get Out, maybe. There's a little bit of a, it seems like the Academy really loves Phantom Thread. I still feel like it's going to be Three Billboards, but I'm rooting for Shape of Water, obviously.
I mean, there's a couple on there. I mean, Get Out, I'm excited because it's a thriller horror movie that's nominated for Best Picture. I mean, that's huge.
Never happens.
Never happens. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if it deserves Best Picture nomination.
Well, I had it at six on my list. I mean, it's good. I'm glad it's nominated, and that's I think it'll get that screenplay.
I think it is well deserved just because, I mean, it's coming from a sketch writer and an improviser writing a really good horror thriller.
Yeah.
Well deserved. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, Colin, where can people find you? At your activities. You host a hockey podcast. That's why
you're here. Hockey.
If you like hockey, listen to the Unhealthy Scratch podcast.
I get it.
Andy and I, it's because...
Andy Picaro.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. We do his podcast. We talk about the news in hockey. We talk about things that have happened to us in hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Hockey
stuff.
Good.
We talk
good
about like
talk.
The worst things that have ever happened to us playing a game. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
We belittle each other.
Yeah.
We're never prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. You would love it.
And follow him on Twitter at Colin
Comedy.
Colin Comedy.
Oh,
Colin
you got
Chamberlain
that.
Is too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Two
that's
L's
crazy.
In Colin. That's
two L's
hey,
in
if
Colin.
You want to see Sean do comedy on March 3rd, he will be opening for me.
That's right.
At the Carnegie Library of Homestead as I film my 1 hour comedy special.
Big show.
Please be there along with Jason Clark as your host.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin will be featuring for me in Milwaukee February 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Big fun.
Any hockey or comedy fans?
That's a hockey town.
Or even if you're from Pittsburgh, February 1st. Is the 100th episode of Ya Jagoff podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to
featuring
roast
a roast of John Chamberlain,
my father.
The Jagoff, his dad.
I'm going to roast my
it's
father.
Be fun. And at least two of us will be at Arcade Comedy Theater February 10th for the stand-up get-down.
I mean, so much things.
That's the fifth anniversary.
So
for
March 3rd, Aaron has his thing, but also I'm doing a show in Laurel Borough. Lower Borough?
Yeah,
what
maybe
is?
You want
to
go to Laurel
you're not allowed to promote that because you're going to take all my Lower Borough people
so
from my show.
So if you want to see me make gas money
uh-huh.
talking to a bunch of firemen,
yeah,
That's going to be a hot show.
Here's all I'm saying. What, you got something there?
No.
I'm angry about Best Original Song. That's what I'm saying.
I'm You're angry about Best Original Song?
Here's why.
A weird thing to get angry about for a guy that has a bunch of Funko things in his house.
Listen. Noted indie lame naptime rocker Sufjan Stevens nominated for a song for Call Me By Your Name. Just a boring, warbly guitar picking nothing.
Sufjan Stevens is incredible.
Nothing to
He's
that
incredible.
Song. When
He's incredible.
Sufjan
Stevens. I love him.
Lovely,
seen him live.
The lovely, epic breakup song they wrote into the live action Beauty and the Beast, which I loved. You see Beauty and the Beast, Colin?
No.
Yeah. No Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, just costume and production design.
Of course it's costumes, because you know, anything that takes place in the 17th or 18th century, it's in there somewhere.
But if you haven't seen the movie, whenever Disney does a remake, they throw in a few new songs, and they wrote this like emo breakup song for the Beast.
Coco, that's such a good song.
He's running through the castle, talking about being sad.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. They sent me signed sheet music, and it didn't get nominated. And I'm.
They sent you signed sheet music.
I get stuff.
Oh yeah,
I get stuff
cool
in the
stuff.
Mail. I got a nice note from Gary Oldman a couple of weeks ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This just happens.
They sit there for hours and write it.
To me and every other Critics Choice Awards voter.
Yeah.
Not Kayshawn.
Sorry,
your boy Gary here.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think Coco, Remember Me is such a good song.
It's fine.
Anything
it's really
from
good.
Moana?
That's last year.
Ah, bummer. How about Les Mis?
That's several years ago.
Bummer.
Yeah. Aaron?
Okay, everybody, we're all done. So, we're going to just end the podcast now. And, this is how we do a podcast. We just we have to turn off the button. So that's what we're going to do. And I cannot find the button, but that's how we do the podcast. So it's good talking to everybody.